Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. Well, the old expression is, laws are made in April and May. That certainly rings true here in Illinois. Someone who knows all about the lawmaking process in Springfield, our state capital, is Dave Curtin, a lobbyist for the Illinois Family Institute. We could have a lot of action on major bills in April or even toward the end of the spring session in May. We need to be on the lookout.
Yeah, for sure. They have 10,000 pieces of legislation, and we have to be on guard on every single one. With the supermajority in each chamber, they've got all sorts of crazy ideas, and they are in bill form, so we are on the lookout.
Well, there are a lot of crazy bills out there, and you would think that they would have to hold back because we've got an election coming up. Yeah. But that's not necessarily the case.
No, it used to be the case, but this year is a little bit different because there are supermajorities, and they're kind of strutting around the Capitol saying, well, 2 years ago there was supposed to be a red wave, and we passed all this legislation last time, and it didn't hurt us. So this time we should be able to pass some bad legislation, in their words, good legislation. It's not like it was in the past where bad bills just stay in the committees.
One of the bills that IFI is very concerned about and a lot of pro-life organizations is assisted suicide. Now, this has been brought up for discussion in previous years when the legislature's in session, but this year seems like it's gaining momentum.
Yeah, the assisted suicide legislation is a very coordinated national effort, and they've already done it in a few other blue states. And Illinois is the very next state that usually they stop at to try to pass something like this, where it would allow physicians to dispense some pills to a person who's diagnosed with a terminal illness to kill themselves at home. The legislation is a little bit worse than what even passed in Oregon, because one could argue the legislation is not written, so you have 6 months to live. The legislation is written, so you just have an indeterminate amount of time to live.
It's my understanding, if they bring assisted suicide to Illinois, legal assisted suicide, it would be limited to adults. Is that correct?
That's correct. It would be limited to adults. There's a process, not a very stringent process, I don't think, but a process where they'd have to sign a piece of paper acknowledging that they know what they're doing, and then 3 days later, 4 days later, follow up and say, yes, I knew what I was signing, and I still want to do it. It's a way for the insurance companies to save a lot of money on expensive health care for people who are in the later stages of life, and these pills only cost $3. Therapy that might keep a person alive costs tens of thousands of dollars. So the insurance companies are very much pushing it, and what I call the pro-death crowd are pushing it. They want to make sure we have abortions at every corner. We want to make sure that we kill people at the end of life, too.
Well, you talked about the insurance companies, but I would imagine even folks in state government who are looking at finances saying, you know, there's a lot of Medicaid recipients who are on end-of-life care, and this is a way to save money.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. They could make that point. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that point on the floor. They make a lot of arguments. In fact, it's called compassionate care bill. They use that to
death with dignity.
Yeah. And so they really do feel, and you know, that's the way they look at the world. They feel that they are the arbiters of life and death. God is not. They are. They should be able to do what they want to do. It goes in with their line of thinking.
Where does the governor stand on this?
Well, I think the governor would be in support of it. I haven't heard him publicly say one way or another. This would be the sort of bill that he would sign.
He's very pro-abortion. Why not?
Yeah. This comes from all of those far-left groups that he likes and he tries to cooperate with.
Well, the question is, how do we stop this? I was recently at a luncheon, and an elderly lady there, good Republican lady, she kind of was in favor of this. She said, well, what about these people who are experiencing a lot of pain? And maybe this is the best case scenario for them. How should we respond to that logic?
Well, the first thing people think of is, if someone's in pain, then they should be able to do this. But number one, pain can be taken care of through many other ways. And even if they go in hospice, pain is taken care of. But the idea that pain plays a part in why they want to kill themselves is not supported by any of the research or any of the data in the blue states that have passed this. Pain is not even in the top three or four answers. It's usually, I don't want to be a burden on my family, I'm tired or whatever. It's not pain, because we have medicine to take care of the pain.
Now, I spoke recently with Peter Brain from the Thomas More Society, a public interest legal group, and he said to me that one of the problems with this assisted suicide legislation is the fact that it could be easily expanded to the point where it could include children. What are your thoughts?
They are arguing in other states that it should be expanded to children, or it should be expanded to mental diseases. But once you get the camel's nose under the tent, then it's easier to make those arguments. So I do agree with that. Just on a side note, one way we're going to try to stop it is people with disabilities are very much against this. They believe this is something that's targeted at them. So there's a coalition of people with disabilities who are firmly against this and who have been testifying in other states. So I think they'll be pretty effective in our coalition.
Let's talk about how we stop this. Beyond the folks with disabilities and a coalition, what can we do as individuals to stop this legislation?
The first thing I would say is to contact your legislator and just tell them you do not want assisted suicide legislation, whatever it is.
What reason should we give them?
That God is the author of life. God can give life or take it away, but that we should not be acting as the determinant of life. Secondly, doctors should be in the business of healing people, not killing people. And third, it just degrades the culture that we have. Kids are growing up in this culture, and they would have that cultural mindset that it's okay to do this or that.
And you have to maybe say, look, Mr. Lawmaker, Miss Lawmaker, where does it stop? Could we in the future say, well, the government thinks you should die, and it's time to put you down for the good of the state and for others? I think it leads to that. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. It can very well lead to that. If you're not useful to society, then government can decide that you're not good for the welfare of society, and so therefore you should be put down. Ironically, there's a bill in the General Assembly at the same time that it would make it illegal to euthanize animals. And it's sponsored by some of the same people who are wanting to do assisted suicide and kill humans.
Everything's upside down, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all upside down. And it keeps going this way. But what we have to do as Christians, we need to pray for those legislators who are making these decisions. We need to reach out to them and we all say, well, what can I do? You know, I'm just one person. That one person that they talk to or that registers their opinion with that office, that's all you can do, and that's a lot. So think of it as doing God's work, doing what you can. And I will say the legislation has not been moving, because a lot of people have been doing that, and the other side has been very surprised that other people are organizing around this and speaking out against it. They thought they'd kind of just be able to run it through, no problem. So it makes a difference if you make your voice heard.
Could we expect this legislation to get to the House or Senate floor, and when?
Well, it would be in April and May. We'll be watching for it. It's in the Senate right now, and it's in a subcommittee. All they'd have to do is have a hearing on it in the Senate and then vote it out, and then it goes over to the House. We're watching it very closely, but it's not the only bill down there. A ton of other bills that we're watching. It is the most important bill we're watching, that we're trying to keep it in a subcommittee.
You mentioned that there's a lot of other bills in the state capitol in Springfield under consideration. Let's talk about a few of them after this timeout.
With a woman to look at culture from a Christian worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. A 50-year-old man who identifies as a woman was able to, quote-unquote, breastfeed his grandchild after taking a series of experimental hormones. The researchers who made it possible proudly announced that this unidentified man is now able to have this, quote-unquote, experience without any detrimental side effects to himself. As if that's what breastfeeding is about, the experience of the adult, not the well-being of the child. Not only has the FDA not approved these drugs, it in fact strongly warns against them. In fact, most medical professionals warn against mothers even taking cold medicine when breastfeeding, and yet somehow proponents are praising this experimental use of drugs as a step forward in so-called gender-affirming care. Maya Forstater, the executive director of Sex Matters, rightly criticized, quote, men should not be permitted, still less supported, to get between babies and their moms or to use babies as props to validate their beliefs that they're women. No, children should never be social experiments just to fulfill adult fantasies. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here along with Dave Curtin. Dave is a lobbyist for the Illinois Family Institute in Springfield. And we talked about the assisted suicide legislation, Dave, but there are actually some good measures that could pass even in our legislature. You think that the Democrats have super majorities and nothing good could be passed. What are a couple of the good bills that we need to be aware of?
Well, there's a couple of good bills that I think have a good chance of passing that would crack down on child pornography and also child sex trafficking. IFI will be sending out legislative alerts when those bills are activated. And, you know, they're both sponsored by Democrats, but Republicans are co-sponsoring some as well. Don't want to fool anyone. It is an election year, and so we would not see those bills last year. We would see them in an election year because they know people on both sides of the aisle would be for them. But we're just glad they're getting done or they're moving.
Well, Dave, IFI is behind an effort to create a resolution in the General Assembly that would call on the legislature to lower THC content in marijuana. THC, of course, is what gets folks high. And right now, the levels are through the roof.
Yeah, it's a very exciting legislation, actually. Even though it's a resolution, it would not have the force of law. It would be a great resolution to get votes, Democrats and Republicans, to pass that calls for lower THC levels in marijuana. THC levels in marijuana were at something like at 3 or 4% in the 70s, in the 60s and 70s. Today they're as high as 80%. So that's why you're seeing so many problems with so many kids. This is not your ordinary marijuana. And there's a lot of psychotic episodes happening. There's a lot of bad things happening just from marijuana as well as it being a gateway drug. So it's something that has not been pointed out in the legislature, and I'm glad that IFI is taking the lead. We've got a couple of Democrats to sponsor it. We've got several Republicans to sponsor it, and we expect that to be moving. We're calling to cap the THC level at 10%. I think that's a reasonable number.
Do they have caps in other states?
Yeah, several blue states, in fact. So we put that in the resolution that Connecticut and Vermont, and I forget the other one, have capped levels of THC. And have that as a part of their law. It should be favorably received that we're trying to save kids, but here in the state that prides itself, or at least the legislature is priding itself on bringing in all this money by legalizing marijuana, it's going to speak against the effects of marijuana. So there will be some controversy, but we're hoping we'll get it passed.
It's going to be an uphill fight because Big Marijuana Inc. surely doesn't like this.
Well, you can't argue with facts. And the facts are in the resolution that before you passed marijuana legalization, car crashes were this number. And after you passed it, car crashes were this number and fatalities. And you just can't argue with some of the facts in there that marijuana has changed the course of some kids' lives. The THC levels, I think we could make a good argument there and get a lot of people who even voted to legalize drugs, because I think a lot of them are uninformed. They really don't know. They just know, oh, we legalize drugs. But they're like you and me. they're not exactly experts on these matters. And unless someone tells them that these THC levels are this high, I'm finding a lot of legislators surprised they're that high because they just didn't know. So it's giving them information that they need, and so we're cautiously optimistic we'll be able to push that, especially since it's an election year and it is a resolution, so marijuana lobby, they know it won't be in law. It'll be a great educator for us in the General Assembly. It's a formal way to educate legislators who are not educated right now, so we can follow up with a bill next year. They have to read this resolution. They have to debate it. The facts are the facts. And if they want to come up with other facts, that's fine. But, you know, in these other states where they passed it, got statistics from those states too. So
I don't think a lot of lawmakers understand that the higher the THC content, the more dangerous marijuana is.
You're right. Maybe they don't. But I think most of the legislators think of marijuana, because no one's pointed out to them, they think of marijuana as marijuana that they maybe saw in their high school back in the day.
The Cheech and Chong days, right. Yeah. The Parents Matter Amendment, it's an advisory referendum. That going anywhere?
If they get enough signatures, they'll put it on the ballot in November. And right now it's unclear whether they're going to have the required number of signatures. But if they do, it would be on the November ballot, and the referendum would say, the question would say, do you think parents ought to have the right to control the health care of their kids? It'll give you certain instances like gender care and abortion and things like that. 80% of the people you ask would say yes. There are people who are trying to take those rights away, especially the school system, the education system. And so this is a way to pass something that would be kind of a big megaphone to the General Assembly to stop messing with parental rights and limiting parental rights in the kids' health care decisions, because that's the way we're going right now.
The kids' health care decisions, not the parents' decisions on behalf of their children. You're saying that's where we are now.
Yeah, essentially. Other states are doing this. Is they're trying to make kids into little adults and make their own health care decisions. And they want to do, if they're in a public school system or if they're in some other system that is connected with the state, this is a way for the state to take control. They do have these kids 8 hours a day in the public schools, and they think they know best. They think they know them better than the parents do. And so it's an ideological struggle that has come this far because we've not been able to stop them in the past.
But will an advisory referendum do any good?
Well, yeah, that's the knock. But I argue that it would, because it would be a debatable issue that would bring a lot of firepower from the other side, and they would show their hand. We would argue for parents' rights. So it's like having a great debate. Even though it would be only an advisory referendum, it's a great debate to have parents step off the sidelines and start participating in this great debate. Right now, parents don't know what's going on in the schools, so they can't debate. And then second, when they do know what's going on, they think they're the only one. It's a great way to get people activated, in my opinion, if they can do it.
Well, it gets the discussion started, and it sends a message to lawmakers that there are parents who care about their kids, and we're going to be watching how you vote on this stuff.
Lawmakers love the fact that nobody's watching them sit in the committee rooms. They love not seeing people there testifying against what they're trying to do, because they want to be the judge, jury, and they want to decide all these things. You can just see it in Springfield, in the Capitol, whenever they have parents talk to them or whatever. They want to do what they want to do. Certain legislators, of course, there are other legislators that are not that way, but these legislators that are trying to take parents' rights away do not like seeing parents raising their voices about what their kids should or should not be able to do.
It puts a little fear in them when they hear from this many parents.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, there's a bill out there, and I can't recall the bill number, that would essentially criminalize parents if they would take steps to protect their minor daughter from having an abortion, or if they would put safeguards in place to keep their minor child from getting hormone drugs or even transition surgeries.
Yeah.
Is this going to go anywhere, that legislation?
Well, it was going to go somewhere, but Illinois Family Institute did organize very early behind it, and it looks like it's not going to go anywhere now, at least the sponsor says so. But that's only because we organized early. But think of it this way. There never, ever should be a piece of legislation that says that a child under the age of 18 should be able to disregard their parents' authority on medical decisions. And that's exactly what the bill does. It'd be for gender changes, it'd be for abortions. It's where we are in the society. But because there was so much opposition to it early on, it doesn't look like it's moving, but it's still definitely alive, could be moved. That bill, I think that you're referring to, the parent would be charged with child abuse, they would be criminalized, they would be sentenced. It's just beyond the bounds of whatever you think might or should happen in Springfield. But there are people behind it, very powerful people, and that's the direction they want to go.
Doesn't look like it's going to pass, but it's still alive, so beware.
Yeah, anytime a bill like that is alive and has big sponsors behind it, that's not to be dismissed lightly. If they didn't want to risk the bill, they wouldn't even have written it. They're very serious about your children.
They're coming after them. All right, Dave, a lot of bad legislation there in Springfield, and there's some good legislation. We have to be in prayer, and we need to be in contact with our lawmakers.
Yeah, I mean, it really is true that you need to call your lawmaker and express your opinion on something. There are other people who will be calling too, and they need to hear from you because it's going to make a difference in Springfield on the legislation.
Thank you, Dave Curtin, lobbyist for the Illinois Family Institute in Springfield. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. Tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.